Hi friends, this is Compassion Podcast. On the 21st of May, we will have a short online program called Night of Compassion. And we want to invite you to that program. The program will begin at 8 p.m. Beijing time. You can keep the date and you can invite your friends. Remember that God is your Father. See you at the Night of Compassion.
Welcome to Compassion's audio podcast. This podcast shows the compassionate and the loving heart of God through Jesus Christ. You don't have to run away from God, but you can come close to Him. Jesus tasted death for everyone in all the world. And He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Enjoy the message.
Coming up on Compassion Podcast.
But still, Jesus is the physician. He is the doctor. He has come. Jesus says, "The one who is well does not need a physician, but they that are sick." Jesus is the physician. What makes Jesus feel like he is in his place is sinners. What makes Jesus useful? The sinners, the weak, the failures. He is the Savior. Let us begin. Let us try and open our Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 2. We are going to read from verse 13, 1 through 8. Mark chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 17. Please, are you there? Okay, so let's get into it. Mark chapter 2, verse 13 to verse 17. Then he, that is Jesus Christ, then he went out again by the sea, and all the multitude came to him, and he taught them. Verse 14. As he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office, and he said to him, "Follow me." So he arose and followed him. Verse 15. That is Mark chapter 2. We are now in verse 15. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and also with his disciples. For there were many and they followed him. Verse 16. And when the scribes and the Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, they didn't talk to Jesus, you know, they said to his disciples, "How is it that he, Jesus, eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners?" Verse 17. When Jesus heard it, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician." One more time. "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Amen. This is going to be our text for tonight. This is beautiful. The previous night of compassion we had, we saw how the apostle, that is Saul, who was later called Paul, was destroying the church of God. He made havoc of the church, entering houses and dragging men and women, committing them to prison. This Paul. So this Paul, he went to synagogues to receive letters to catch anyone who said he was a Christian and bring them bound to Jerusalem. He instigated the death of Stephen and was on his way to Damascus to go and catch more Christians, those who said they were following Jesus Christ. But then he met Jesus on his way. Jesus didn't destroy him. Jesus didn't condemn him. Jesus didn't kill him, even though he helped kill a man. Jesus did what he does best. He saved him. He showed him mercy and grace. He showed him compassion and turned him from a murderer into an apostle of the living God. That is what we saw in the previous night of compassion. The purpose of Compassion Podcast is to reveal the compassion and the loving heart of God to man wherever they are. Because life cannot be understood if we don't know the one who gave it. I think man is not aware that God is the one who gave life to man. Or even if man knows, he has forgotten that life comes from God. Life is something that only God can give. God is the source of life. But how we see God will affect our walk in this life. How we see God will affect our outlook on life. Life in this world will be difficult if we have a wrong picture of the one who gave it. Life will be difficult. We hear man utter words of frustration like, life is hard. Yeah, things are hard. We hear man talk like that. Life is hard. Things are hard. You know, they sigh and sometimes they say, life is hard. These really are words that are uttered out of frustration. The root problem is this. The problem is how man sees God. Life can be great and life can be beautiful. The same with Christianity. The one who gave Christianity is God. Who gave us a son? Let's ask that. God did. Who gave us eternal life? God did. Who has made us sons and daughters of the Most High God? God did. It's all God. And so Christianity won't and can't be understood if we have a wrong picture of the one who gave it. A.W. Tozer, this is what he said. A.W. Tozer, this is what he said. He said Christianity will be a success or a failure depending upon our concept of God. One more time. He said, Christianity will be a success or a failure depending upon our concept of God and what we think of God. We can also say life will be a success or life will be a failure depending upon what we think of God. Because, please, you can write this down. You can keep this in your heart. Because having the right concept of God is the key that opens all of God's treasure on you. I repeat, having the right concept of God is the key that opens all of God's treasure on you. So the question that comes to mind is this: what is God like? Maybe if I can grasp or I can have the right concept of God, I think maybe it's really going to be a blessing. How can I see God properly? Who is he? Please, let us open our Bibles to, we will come back to Mark chapter 2. Let's go to Psalms, the book of Psalms, 145. Psalms 145, verse 8 to verse 9. Psalms 145, verse 8 to verse 9. And I read, and please look at this carefully in your Bible. And I read, verse 8. The Lord is gracious. Can you see this in the Bible? Good. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of compassion. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is great in mercy. I believe you're seeing this in the Bible. Verse 9. The Lord is good to all. And then this part, he says, and his tender mercies are over all his works. This is beautiful. The Lord is gracious. The Lord is full of compassion. Not just compassion, he's full of it. The Lord is slow to anger. The Lord is great in mercy. The Lord is good to all. He does not discriminate. The Lord is good to to all. And then he says, and his tender mercies. I've never heard words like this before. If it is just mercy, I'm grateful. If it is tender-hearted person, I'm grateful. But then, tender mercies. In other words, mercies that are tender. Soft mercy. Have you ever met anybody like that? I'm not sure. But the Bible says, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Not some of his works. All of his works. Psalms 145, verse 8 to verse 9 is the foundation of life. Don't forget this. Having the right concept of God is the key that opens all of God's treasuries or all of God's treasure on you. This is the foundation of life or the foundation for life. If this is not known, life will be hard. And most times, Christianity will be difficult. There is a part of God that we should never forget. And that is, God is love. You see, God's love is what makes Christianity different from every other religion. God's love. Or no one else's God loves them as our God loves us. I once heard a Christian minister tell a story about being in a foreign country and having a debate with the leader of another religion. You know, they were arguing which religion is true, which religion is right, which religion is proper for man to practice. That was the debate. It's still the same today. We debate which religion is the right one. Religion is man's approach to God. Christianity is God's approach to man. You want me to repeat that? I repeat. Religion is man's approach to God. Christianity is God's approach to man. That's the difference. So this Christian minister and the other leader, they all pulled out their books and argued with each other about which religion was correct, which religion was right. In the midst of the argument, the Spirit of God spoke to this minister's heart and said to him, and said, ask him if his God loves him. So this minister asked him, does your God love you? That was a good question. Does your God love you? Does he? Or does he love you? Something like that. This question stopped the other leader cold. The argument was over because he couldn't answer yes. Everything about God is about his love for you. It was his love that caused him to plan redemption from the moment Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit in the Garden of Eden. It was his love. It was because of love that Jesus came to earth to die a horrible death and pay the price for our sins. Because of love. The Bible doesn't say God sent Jesus because he was angry with mankind. No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that, you know, see that? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This love you're talking about is the very essence of God. His love is what motivates him in every interaction with you. You know, in 1 John, I believe, chapter 4, verse 8 says that God is love. He doesn't just have love like you and I do. He is love. His very being is love. His response to everything is motivated by love. Even when he is correcting us, it is done by love. This love is always looking out for what is best for you. There was a time when we thought love was one of God's topics. You know, it has been a trend for some time. We think that the love of God is one of God's topics. So we think it was on the list of topics alongside, you know, salvation, healing, provision, authority, and protection. It has been a list like we have conjured and all that. And these great topics, they are beautiful to learn. In fact, they are great topics that we should learn. But the more we get to know him, the more we come to realize that all these blessings, salvation, healing, provision, authority, protection, they all come to us because of his love. For example, he said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Love is not one of his topics. Love is him. every one of his blessings and provisions come because of his love. In other words, he saved you, he saved me because he loves us. He heals you because he loves you. He provides for you and protects you because he loves you. There are two ways to measure God's love for man. God's love for mankind is measured by two things. Two things. The first one is this. The degree of God's sacrifice in saving man from the penalty of sin. That's the first one. The degree of God's sacrifice in saving man from the penalty of sin. The second one is the degree of man's unworthiness. Yeah, this second one. The degree of man's unworthiness. We can hear the measure of his sacrifice in the words, he gave his only begotten son. The Bible says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? The person God sent to save sinners was his own divine son, his only son. When we add the horrific death of Christ on the cross, it becomes clear that the sacrifice the Father and the Son made was very great, even unimaginable, when we consider the distance between the divine and the human. But God chose to make this sacrifice to save us. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, and I'm quoting, so please, if you're writing, maybe you can write it down. Ephesians 1, verse 4, it says, even before God made the world, he loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. The measure of his love for us increases still more when we consider our unworthiness. I know we are supposed to go back to Mark chapter 2, our main text, but allow me, let us all go to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at something there, because we are talking about the measure of his love for us increases still more when we consider our unworthiness. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse 7 to verse 8. If you have New Living Translation, you can check it out. If you don't, maybe you can write it down and then later check it because of time. Romans chapter 5. Let's look at verse 7 to verse 8. Verse 7. Now, I'm reading the Bible. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. He has given us a statement there. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person. Though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. So we've seen in verse 7, an upright person and someone who is especially good. Do we fall in that category? Let's see. Verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Oh, okay. So maybe man falls in that category, maybe upright person or maybe especially good. Verse 8. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Look at the next line. For us, while we were still sinners. This is what blows my mind. What kind of love is this? Because most people would not even dare to die for an upright person. And even someone who is especially good, maybe someone might perhaps try and die for the person. But who would die for the wicked? Who would die for the sinner? Verse 8 is, but God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us. Please understand this. God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us is a great love. I repeat, God sending his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us is a great love. And so when we come under God's rule, any other thing, little problems here and there, becomes his responsibility. The main problem was we were sinners. That was the problem. So the Bible says, if God did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with Christ also freely give us all things? Isn't this wonderful? The truth is this. We were not in the category of especially good people and upright. We were not in that category. We deserved divine punishment, not a divine sacrifice. There is no such thing as a worthy person. Even the best of us still miss it and fail. I've heard it said, God didn't die for frogs. Frogs. He was responding to our value as humans, sinners. This turns grace on its head. We were worse off than frogs. Frogs have not sinned. Of course, they were affected by the fall. Frogs have not rebelled against God in their lives. They haven't. But God didn't die for frogs. They are not bad enough. We are, and we were. Our debt was so great that only a divine sacrifice could pay it. Chapter 53, let's look at verse 6. Let me just quote it because of time. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus Christ the iniquity of us all. There is only one explanation for God's sacrifice for us. It is not us. It is the riches of His grace. You know, the Bible says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He bestowed upon us, He made us to be accepted in the Beloved in Christ. And then He says, in Him, in Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. And that is how to explain all of this. It is according to the riches of God's grace. It is all free. It is not a response to our worth, because we are worth nothing. We were sinners, dead in trespasses and sins. It is the overflow of His grace. In fact, that is what divine love is in the end. A passion to be interested in undeserving sinners at great cost. This is our God. This God that we just took time to talk about, this God came into this world in the form of Jesus Christ. The Bible says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their sins against them. But when He came, because He came, but when He came, what was His mission? Where did He go? Which people did He hang out with? And which people did He come for?
Wherever you are, and you're listening to this short message, and you want to receive all that Jesus did for you on the cross, and you want to make Him the Lord of your life, please pray this prayer after me. Say, dear God, I thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus Christ, to come die for me. I believe in my heart that You, God, You raised Him from the dead. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Lord of my life from today. I receive Your eternal life now, and I ask for Your Holy Spirit to come and dwell and live in me now. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for saving me. In Jesus' name, Amen. Congratulations, if you prayed that simple prayer, you're now a child of God, a son or daughter of God. You're welcome to this great family. God bless you.
Thank you for downloading this podcast. If you were helped in any way by this episode, please give us your review and subscribe to receive latest messages like these. If you want to contact us on a personal level, please send us an email to the email address in the description below. We would love to hear from you. Keep on hearing and keep on growing. And remember that God is your Father. Stay tuned for the next episode.